Welcome to the Hooked on Fantasy Podcast with your host, Luke Sawhook.
And Hutchison Brown. What's going on, everybody? Luke just trying to kick me off the screen. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Hooked on Fantasy. I'm your host. There you go, Luke. I'm your host, Hutchison Brown, along with your co-host, Luke Sawhook. And as a screen kind of reveal, we'll be talking through the first round of rookie. Yo, you keep giving me on the screen.
I was messing with all the buttons on the bottom of the StreamYard.
You're messing with so many buttons. For the audio listeners out there, Luke is messing with all the buttons right now, and he is. Okay, here we go. And we are going to be talking about a rookie mock draft today. We're going to go through the first round, let the computer decide how it goes, like randomize it, and we're just going to go through all 10 picks, talk about these rookies, kind of react to the NFL draft, and also adjust to how this affects rookie drafts, because obviously rookie drafts are going on right now. I know I'm in a couple. Luke, I'm assuming you're in a couple right now that are going on.
Yeah, I've done a couple. It's been good. I only had one that's been like done or like got to my pick actually, because they're all moving pretty slow. But I've walked away with Ladd McConkey, and I feel very happy about it.
Yeah, I have a draft where I walked away with Ladd McConkey and Xavier Worthy. So
I love good. Ladd McConkey.
We'll talk about it on the show. We'll probably talk about him this show. Let's see.
We might not. He doesn't get picked in the top 12.
Yeah, maybe. He might not. Let's see what the computer does.
So Luke flies into the hands of the sleeper CPU, and we're gonna decide to talk about the top 12 players that get drafted. This is Super Flex Rookie Draft ADP Dynasty. Let's see what they draft. Yes.
See what they do.
Oh, give me a pick.
Harrison.
Marvin Harrison, Caleb Williams, Neighbors, Daniels, Adunze, Drake May, AJ McCarthy. I'll just pick Brock Bowers to go in order.
That makes sense. Yep.
Jonathan Brooks, Xavier Worthy, Ladd McConkey, and Trey Benson.
All right. Okay. So we want to start. So you want to start with number one. Likely number one, you're likely going to look at Caleb here, not Marvin Harrison Jr. But I'm going to be honest. On Twitter, I've been looking around. I have seen some people, you know, if they don't need a quarterback or if they're really already bulked up on quarterback, if they look at 101, they say, take Caleb Williams. I'm going to be honest with you for a second. If I was at the 101 spot, which I'm not in any of my leagues, if I was at the 101 spot and I'm stocked at quarterback, I'm trading back. I'm not taking Marvin Harrison Jr. Because if you can trade down from 101 to 102, you can get a lot of additional value, especially if the 102 is a QB needy team. So if I were at the 101 and you're not planning on, you either take Caleb Williams or trade him later or trade out of that pick and get a lot of extra value. Don't take Marvin Harrison Jr. 101 like Caleb Sly.
As long as you try to trade, I don't hate it, but I definitely think you should try to trade out.
Definitely try. Yeah.
But I agree with you. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be amazing. He's going to be really good.
He's going to be fantastic.
Tyler, immediately this year, I think he's immediately going to be a top 15 fantasy wide receiver if I had to project this.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to eat up with Kyler. I think they're going to light it up. I'm excited to watch those guys go to work. Caleb Williams, what is there not to be said about him? I think he's the 101, personally.
100% agree.
The weapons he has is absolutely bonkers. We'll talk about Adunze more in a second.
But oh, it's stupid, Dave yeah.
Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, Swift, like, loaded cast of weapons. Absolutely loaded. Yo, Ethan.
Loaded.
Adunze!
Let's talk about, like, 103 now. We're going to go Malik Nabers. So, Harrison and, Caleb, those are the top two clear guys. Then we got Malik Nabers here at 103. You know, remember the Superflex League. I think, personally, I don't know how you feel about the quarterbacks. I love Drake May. I personally think Nabers is the clear 103. Like, if I'm in a rookie draft, I'm at 103. Nabers is my target, clear cut 103. That's my guy.
I think I like Daniels over Nabers in a Superflex League because of the rushing upside. I think that Dave Kluge put out a really good tweet earlier that I agree with. I think that if these guys both hit their ceiling, Jaden Daniels is a lot more valuable in Dynasty Superflex than Neighbors is. That's why I'm drafting Daniels. I think Daniels has a higher ceiling for fantasy. And I also feel like as far as fantasy quarterbacks go, he has a higher floor because of his rushing. I like Neighbors a lot. I really do. But I think I go Daniels 103 personally, and I think I go Neighbors 104.
Yeah, I'm personally going Neighbors. I get the upside argument totally with Jaden Daniels because if he does hit that ceiling, like if he becomes the next Lamar Jackson or something of that nature, he could be truly an elite fantasy quarterback and a crazy franchise asset for years to come. But also, he could trade Lance us. This is a possibility with him because I hope not too. I hope he succeeds. But personally,
you besmirch Trey Lance's name on this podcast? How dare you?
I can't do that with Luke here.
I'm going back to the solo cam again as punishment.
You're taking me off the screen
momentarily.
I don't even know. There we go. All right, there we go. Now I'm back. I don't even think you could hear me and that when I'm off.
No, I could. Anyways, I don't know if they could.
You could. I don't know if they can. No. Yeah, but anyways, with Jaden Daniels, I'm like, when I watch him as a pro, I'm just kind of concerned overall. His decision making, his ability to go through reads, it's really bad. I mean, I'm looking at him nearly as like an Anthony Richardson level prospect as a passer, where it's like, I'm really concerned. Like, I just don't see, I see a lot.
Hey, listen, Hutch, don't besmirch his name either. I love me some
Anthony. No, Richardson has proven a lot. I mean, he hasn't proven a ton, but in the small sample size, he proved some. But him in college, bro, it was bad. I mean, his passing was bad. And Daniels, it's the same thing for me, where I'm just really concerned. And I don't know if Washington's going to be able to do it. I don't know if they're able to develop him well enough to the point where he is a franchise quarterback.
I'm going to be honest. It would be so much better if Washington is actually good.
Yes.
They've been so bad for so long. Like, I feel like it'd be
they've
fun
been to really be bad.
Good.
It would be. It would be fun. But I'm just throwing the wrench in there for the argument, because I get the upside argument, but Daniels has so much more risk than Neighbors to me. Neighbors is too locked in. And at the top of drafts, while I love going for upside, I really don't want to pick a guy at the 102 or 103 and have him be a complete bust. And Jaden Daniels has that upside.
Dude, I don't think he's going to be
in that floor.
He runs the ball. If he didn't run the ball, I think there's more of a chance he's a complete bust. Like, I think Drake May for fantasy is a lot lower likely to be a complete bust than like a Jaden Daniels, because Daniels runs the ball. You know what I mean?
I know, but it doesn't. If he Justin runs, he can run the ball if he wants.
Fantasy because he ran the ball. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. But he can run. Jaden Daniels can run the ball all he wants. If he's a bad quarterback and a bad passer, he won't make it long. He'll be like a 2-year player.
And that's fair. That's fair, especially in Dynasty. I just think the ceiling, yeah. I'm going to go with Daniels. But again, he was drafted at the 104 in this draft. Neighbors went 103. Let's talk about Neighbors a little bit. We didn't talk about him too much outside of just talking about him compared to Daniels. I love him. I think that people are kind of overthinking Neighbors
100%.
A little. I think he's overthinking it. I think people are overthinking his situation. In my opinion, I think it's a great situation to go to as a rookie. Sure, you don't have a great quarterback, but Daniel Jones is not a bum. I think people think that he's a bum. He's not a bum. When he's healthy, he's fine. He's not great. He's not necessarily good, but he's fine. He'll distribute the ball fine. He has never had any legit weapons. And also, the target competition for Neighbors is very small. It's minimal. He's not going to have to compete for many targets. He's going
to see a Darren Waller set to retire. Most rumors have shown that Darren Waller is going to retire.
Dude, I think Neighbors is in for a big rookie year. I think he's going to be great immediately, and I'm very excited for him.
No, I'm going to be honest. Like, I would, if I had to bet on who would lead rookie receivers and targets right now, it'd be Malik Neighbors. Like,
Hutch, you know who I think I'm betting in rookie receiving targets? I'm going with Ladd freaking McConnell.
Oh, I know you are. We'll talk about him later.
I'm not joking. That guy's a target machine.
Oh, no. He's going to be amazing. He's going to be amazing. I was recently talking about him. I was on SiriusXM a little bit ago talking about him. He isn't really set up in Los Angeles, but we'll talk about that later. But Neighbors is set up for a huge year in New York. I mean, obviously, you talk about Daniel Jones. He's okay. But honestly, like, if at some point Daniel Jones gets injured again, or if he gets benched, Drew Lock, I think, is actually a really good quarterback for his fantasy value. He's going to hyper target Malik Neighbors all day long. And I think there's going to be, and he's aggressive. Yeah. He's going to throw it downfield, be aggressive. That's the play style of Drew Lock. I'm excited for Neighbors in New York. He's going to be hyper targeted. He has no competition, and that's going to be enough to get him to baseline fantasy numbers. He's also a crazy yak machine. Like, if you get it to him in short yard situations and let him cook, like, you know, you can be as bad as Daniel Jones, Drew Lock, but you can throw a 5-yard slant and let him cook. Like, you can just do that if you want. Neighbors is going to be just fine. I totally agree with you, Luke, that people are overthinking it. I am so excited for Daniel Jones. That was really funny. That was a really funny video. But I'm really excited to see what Neighbors does as a rookie year.
No, I agree. I think this next pick is the one I disagree with the most so far, honestly. And this is a hot take, I think, for a lot of people.
Odunze?
I'm not loving Odunze's ADP in rookie drafts, given his landing spot, in the sense of he's playing alongside a DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. I know this is Dynasty, but this guy's not going to come in and just eat as a rookie, in my opinion. I think he's going to have a pretty quiet start to his career. I think he can be, you know, productive for fantasy, but I don't see a top 20 ceiling for Odunze this year at all. And I think Neighbors and Marvin Harrison Jr. have like top 12 ceilings this year, maybe less Neighbors than Harrison, but I think these guys are gonna feast. And while I like Odunze, I think I've seen the comp going around on Twitter a lot is Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I think it's harder than Jaxon Smith-Njigba's rookie year landing spot wise, in the sense of the weapons there are so quality. Dude, I think DJ Moore and Keenan Allen are, no disrespect to Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, I think they're miles better. I know Keenan Allen's older. I think that this is a tough landing spot for Odunze. Long term, he's going to be great. He's going to be a star. But right now, if you're looking at, if you're factoring in like bang for your buck factor for fantasy, I want Drake May over him in ADP right now for sure. And I don't really understand why people are taking him over him. What are your thoughts?
I totally see it, honestly. I really, really do. Odunze, I think sometimes he is a tad overvalued. You know, now that he's a Chicago Bear, he's going at the 105 in this draft. I put him more in the 106, 107 range. But I honestly, I think he's going to be totally fine because, you know, Caleb, while, you know, you want to bet, oh, rookie quarterbacks don't do anything for their fantasy receivers, this is a, you know, one of the better prospects we've seen in a while in an offense where the weapons are all around him starting to be great. I would not be shocked. Like, I genuinely would not be shocked if Caleb was going out this year for 4,200 yards, 4,300 yards. It really wouldn't shock me at all. He's that talented. He's that good. He's got the receiving core. And if he's throwing for that many yards, Odunze is going to have some fantasy relevant games. So while I agree with you, Luke,
it's just the target volume.
It's going to be quiet this year, but I feel like no matter what, it's going to go up because Keenan Allen, this is the last year of his contract. I would doubt he's staying in Chicago after this season. I would doubt they re-sign him to a bigger contract. So I think he's going to be let go. And then you got Odunze and DJ Moore, and that's just, that's fun. So, and Caleb entering his second season. So I feel like you're buying an asset that pretty much no matter what is going to be ascending like crazy over the next season.
And that's totally fair. And like, I understand why people are drafting him. It's just, again, I think it's a tough road to, you know, being an alpha wide one.
Between him and those quarterbacks and Brock Bowers, it's tough.
I think people are going to get impatient, Hutch. That's the thing. I think right now it's easy to sit back and be like, oh, you know, he's going to have a slow start. When he has the slow start, people are going to get impatient and his value will decrease. I guarantee it. It's the name of the game, dude. Moving on here to the next pick that we have, Drake May at the 106. Again, I like May. I don't know how good he's going to be for fantasy, especially immediately. The supporting cast there isn't great for him. But he's interesting. I think long-term, he definitely could be the franchise guy for New England. I really like his makeup. I think he's going to be a lot of fun in New England. I think he could be the guy to bring them out of the Tom Brady postpartum era.
Oh, 100%. I personally love May as a prospect. He is my clear-cut QB2 over Jane Daniels, over Jay McCarthy easily for me. I mean, when you look at his, you know, ability to go through reads, his accuracy to all three levels of the field, and his decision making, while sometimes it's inconsistent, but he's 20 years old, dude. Like he's a baby boy. He has so much time to develop. He's got a veteran presence in front of him in Jacoby Brissett. He might sit a few games this year. He might sit a whole season. Well, that we don't know.
I would bet he sits at least 7-8 games this year. If I had,
I would bet he sits a couple games. If he does start though, that's a really good sign for what he's doing in training camp. I would really got to keep an eye on that because if he's starting week one, that's a good sign for him. Of what he's been doing in training camp and how he's been impressing the coaches. But looking towards Drake May fantasy value, obviously this year it's really tough because you got two day three wide receivers, or no, a day two and a day three wide receiver as your starters. And it's not ideal. Hopefully the Patriots are able to build around him next year, you know, potentially in the draft or through free agency. I don't know what the wide receiver free agency class is looking like next year. I haven't really looked into that very much.
No clue.
Man, no clue. I know Keenan Allen will be on the board. Maybe they'll get him. But they are in a situation. Drake May is a tough situation this year, but for future asset, I love Drake May. He's a really talented
agree.
Young,
but
young.
Moving on to the next part of the board here. I feel like most of this part is consensus for the most part. After this is where it gets pretty interesting, in my opinion. We have JJ McCarthy at the 107. I don't hate it, but I think the thing for me, if I know we're going in order, but the player right behind him is kind of screaming at me saying, hey, why am I at the 108? Why is Brock Bowers at the 108 ADP? I think Brock Bowers has an argument to be at the 106, like a legit argument to be. I think you could draft Brock Bowers at the 105 and you are not crazy. I think his landing spot with the Raiders turned a ton of people off because they just drafted Michael Mayer. Who cares about Michael Mayer anymore? Brock Bowers is going to do his thing. He's going to eat. I think the Raiders recognize that the best player available was sliding and they drafted him, which I think is the proper thing to do. In an NFL draft, I think Bowers, while he doesn't have the great quarterback play right now, Gardner Minshew is plenty capable. He fed Michael Pittman Jr. big time this past year. And I know we're talking dynasty here, but I think Bowers is in for a great career in Vegas. How do you feel about Bowers? Do you think he should be higher up the board or do you think he's better at the 108? Hutch, your mic got muted. Hutch. Oh, you're lagging. Wait, are you back? Speak. Nope. He's muted again. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in the meantime, while Hutch is having technical difficulties, I'm going to start vamping a little bit here about JJ McCarthy. Because I don't think I love his ADP at 107. But here's the thing, though. I get it, especially in Superflex. I think he has nice upside throwing to Justin Jefferson immediately on in his career. The thing is, though, it's kind of a bet between talent and immediate situation with him and Drake May, in my opinion. I think with May, you're betting more on the long-term projections of his talent in the situation. Well, with McCarthy, you think he's talented enough to get the job done with really good weapons, and ultimately that's going to lead him to fantasy production at an early stage in his career. Oh, you're back, I think.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Back. You're back.
Okay, here we go. All right, go ahead and finish what you're saying, then I'll get into Brock Bowers.
No, I'm done. Please, just jump right in.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about Brock Bowers for a second. I like you, am extremely intrigued by his landing spot in Vegas. I'm going to be honest. If I saw him taking it to 104, Caleb Harrison named, if I saw him taking it to 104, I wouldn't mind it. I like, he truly is a generational tight end prospect. And in Vegas, he has such a bright future because looking at the team around him, right? You have Davante Adams, who's a 31-year-old wide receiver. While he could be a stud this year, that cliff is coming soon, man. He's 31 years old. That cliff is coming. Outside of that, it's a very questionable receiving core. Jacoby Myers, whose contract, I believe, actually ends this season, if I'm not mistaken, with Las Vegas.
He's a dog, though. I love Kobe.
He's good. Jacoby's good. But if not this season, then next season his contract ends. Like, their receiving core is quite questionable. They're going to be in look for a quarterback. And even if they don't get a quarterback, like you said, Minshew's serviceable. Aiden O'Connell flashed last year a little bit. He's showed to be serviceable for this offense. And I'm looking at Bowers and thinking, man, he's going to have an opportunity within the next couple of years to step up and be a dominant asset in this offense. And with his talent, with his profile, I'm just so excited. And you can argue, I mean, when he came into college, he dominated year one as a freshman. He scored 13 touchdowns, 700-plus yards in 15 games played. I mean, dude was just ridiculous. We've been talking about this guy for years. Why can't he just come out in the NFL and just dominate year one like he did in college? I mean, he did it as a freshman in college. Why can't he do it again? So I'm looking at Bowers at 108 thinking like, oh, yeah, that's easy money. I'm coming to 109 when he dropped.
He definitely will dominate, I think, from an early, you know, early on standpoint in his career as well. My question for you is, what do you think about the board here after Bowers? Very interesting picks. We have the first running back of the draft, and then Xavier Worthy. What are your thoughts here?
You know, looking at Jonathan Brooks, I personally think this is a bit of a reach. I personally would prefer Trey Benson over him because I think the offense that Trey Benson's in is built for the future longer with Harrison, McBride, Kyler. Jonathan Brooks, if Bryce Young flops this year and if Xavier Jett disappoints, dude, that he is stuck in a really terrible situation and then a dumpster fire of an offense. And while he's very talented and could be set up for a really nice role, and I'm confident in his ACL health now that the NFL showed us that they're confident in his ACL health.
Fair.
That offense could be really bad. I'm more confident in Trey Benson in that offense.
But my question was with Trey Benson, what do you think about James Conner? Are you concerned about him at all, or do you think this is more of like a one-year situation?
He's a one-year. His contract ends this year, and he's 28-plus years old. They're not going to extend him to another deal. I would think that Trey Benson, after this year, takes over. This year might be a split, but after this year, it's Trey Benson's backfield.
It doesn't even have to be the entire full season, too, in my opinion. Like, I feel like this is a world where maybe we see a bit of a Michael Carter, Breece Hall situation.
Yeah, totally see that. Yeah, you know, totally.
Like, I think James Conner is better than Michael Carter, right? I think we both agree on that. But, like, it's a similar situation in the sense of it's a veteran, a really talented rookie coming in. I mean, he's my RB1 there as well. A thing with Brooks for me that's really interesting is, like, I really liked Brooks too. And I feel like the thing with him for me is I think that the Panthers are kind of a gross landing spot right now. But I think long-term, it can still pan out to be a pretty juicy one.
Could be, yeah. It really depends on Bryce. If Bryce bounces back this year, that offense could be set up really nicely. But if Bryce is not the guy, which honestly, if I had to bet money on it, I'd bet that he's not the guy based on what he did last year. Brooks is in trouble. That Panthers.
You're really out that soon on Bryce Young. He had a terrible supporting cast last year. Terrible situation around him.
Oh yeah, not fully out. Totally think it's possible that he bounces back, but he didn't help himself last year, man. He had bad weapons, bad offensive line, but he didn't help himself. He really
Speaking of his situation, though, I really, 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 really like Deontay Johnson in fantasy this year for Carolina.
Oh, yeah, kind totally. Of
topic. That's a subject for another show, but I think he's going to be fantastic there.
Oh, yeah, totally. And do you want to wrap up with a little bit of Ladd McConkey?
Of course I do. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know you're excited.
Dude, let's talk about Ladd McConkey. Listen, I was a big Ladd McConkey guy before the draft even happened. He was my wide receiver 5, and I know that was controversial for a lot of people. You know, for most, it was, you know, the top 4 was pretty firmly set on. Obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr., Neighbors, Adunze, and then from there, Brian Thomas Jr. was most people's wide receiver 4. But then from there, wide receiver 5 on down, I feel like you could do a lot of different things. And for me, what I decided to go with was McConkey, and then from there, Worthy, Adonai Mitchell, etc. But I really like Ladd McConkey for the reason that the Chargers drafted him. I think that this guy, while he's not, you know, your typical alpha wide receiver 1, I think he's a guy who has great route running. He has good hands. He's a lot more athletic than people give him credit for. He ran a sub 4.440, Hutch. This guy can move. I think he can have a very high ceiling at the next level. He's going to be a better pro than he was in college. He could be the wide receiver 1 of this offense very easily this year in LA. I think he should be, honestly. I expect this guy to be a top 24 wide receiver in fantasy football this year, and I mean that. I think I'm going to have a lot of Ladd McConkey on my fantasy teams this year.
That's totally fair, and something I want to bring up too is Ladd's versatility. It's insane. The Chargers need someone at every level in the receiving game. They really do. They have nobody anywhere. They need somebody at every level that can do everything. They need someone like a CeeDee Lamb who could do something everywhere, and Ladd can do that. He played 25% in the slot last year, 75% outside. Dude can work in the slot outside. And about 20% of his targets were behind the line of scrimmage. He could take a lot of screens, take a lot of jet sweeps. And 20% of his targets were beyond 20 air yards. This is all per PFF metrics. So dude can work all over the field at every level. His route running is elite, like you said. His footwork is great. He's so fast.
He's so smooth. He's so smooth.
Yes, he's smooth operator. So smooth. Oh, 100%. So the dude has so much upside this year, and I completely agree with you. With Justin Herbert, this offense, Jim Harbaugh, a smart head coach, I really, really like this landing spot and think it's really interesting. He's my wide receiver 5 now in
quick drafts. Hey, there he is.
I still have Worthy 4. Worthy's my locked in 4, and that's not changing. Dude, it hasn't changed the last season, but
I have a hard time biting my tongue on Worthy going to Kansas City long term with Mahomes. Like, that ceiling is like through the roof to the freaking moon. But dude, Ladd McConkey in LA is fascinating, Hutch. Dude, it is a good
thing.
Like,
oh, no,
I think
it is.
More so short term. I think if you more want short term production, you should bet on McConkey. But if you want long term production, maybe bet on Worthy. Yeah. But I like this landing spot a lot for Ladd McConkey. I think he's pretty easily my favorite value in rookie drafts right now is Ladd McConkey at like the 111, 112. I see him go in the second round in some people's drafts. Like, he's a value. I really, really like Ladd McConkey's value. But that's going to wrap it up for this first round little mock draft here, guys. We're going to be going back next week. We want to do rounds 2 and 3, Hutch?
Yeah, I think that's what we'll be doing, yeah, round 2 and 3.
Sounds good. Hey, rookie season is upon us. Rookie draft season is here. It's the most wonderful time of the year in your dynasty leagues. The chats are lighting up like Christmas. It's beautiful. Everyone's active. That league mate you haven't heard from since the season being ended is sending 19 messages a day. It's a great time to be alive. It's a great time to be a dynasty fantasy football player. And thank you for listening to Hooked on Fantasy. We'll be back again with another episode next week, everybody. Stay beautiful. Goodbye.
See ya.